Welcome to the Gamesmith's Table Talk. This is a roundtable format discussion where I and my guests try to cover three tabletop role-playing related topics in 15 minutes. If you know anything about tabletop role players, then you'll know that this is an ambitious goal. Let's head to the table. Welcome back to our Table Talk podcast. I'm your host, Clayton the Gamesmith, and joining me are...
I'm Franklin.
I'm Cheryl.
I'm Clark.
Let's head to the table.
The views and opinions of the panel are their own and do not reflect the views and opinions of any other individual company or organization. This podcast has been known to be opinionated. You have been warned.
Our first topic is going to be on point buy versus rolled character generation. There are multiple ways to generate characters, and the two principal ones are a point buy system and the rolled character generation. I'm interested in what everyone thinks of these. Do you have a preferred means of character generation between these two?
Hi, I'm Clark. I would say definitely my preference would be with a point buy system. And the reason being is my original gaming experiences were mostly Dungeons & Dragons, where you'd roll 4d6 and discard the lowest. And I found there was just too much variance in what the results would be. On a good day, you could roll a fantastic above-average character, and of course, other times you would roll a very less-than-average character, and I just didn't find it consistent enough. With the point buy, there's still enough variation where you can put your numbers where you want them, you can design the type of character that requires those stats, and there's still a lot of customizing that can be done with a straight-up point buy system. So I would say that's definitely my preference of the two.
I've always leaned more towards the rolled. I mean, the prevailing trend has been point buy, and I can see the reasons for it. Once again, there's, you know, with a rolled system, you get a huge variance in the characters at the table. But also, I think with point buy, there's a tendency for a sameness that's lacking when you go with the rolled. With a point buy, if everyone's off a 20-point buy, you know exactly what guy playing the wizard is going to put most of his points in. You know exactly... Everything else is basically going to be 10 or 11, maybe 12 tops. With the rolled, you have more variation, and so I tend to go with the rolled.
I can't say I have a specific preference for one over the other. I think they both have their ups and downs, and they are, I think, suited towards different styles of game. We've talked a lot in previous episodes about playstyle, and a lot of that is going to come in here. Personally, especially in games that I've run, I prefer to use rolled stats for one-shots and then point buy for things that I know are going to be a longer-term adventure, simply because rolling a stats does tend to throw some curveballs at you. We've all got some stories around the table we can tell. My personal one that comes to mind is a one-shot that I was running and creating a GM character for, and I rolled a 5 on one of my stats. So now I have to think about, what am I going to do with this 5? And that created an interesting character creation choice for me, because I know right off the bat, my character is going to be titanically bad at something. And it's creating a character that has a very obvious flaw makes that character interesting. As a player, I find it very interesting to be thrown those kind of curveballs. I've talked in the past about making characters by randomly picking races and classes and making it work. And so I like rolled stats for that reason. The point buy, on the other hand, as everyone else has talked about, does provide a lot of consistency. You can plan ahead. You can find out, you know, a week in advance, oh, we're doing a 25, a 15, a whatever point build, and you can come to the table with your character ready to go instead of having to roll a dice and figure it out at the table. So I think there are different strengths and weaknesses. As I said, me personally, if it's a long-term adventure, I do lean towards point buy, but for one-shots, rolling stats can be a really fun way to shake things up a bit.
I think that's a really good point, because although I prefer the point buy system with the randomly rolled character generation, you're more apt to have a variance in abilities that you wouldn't normally have had you picked them yourself. And it also creates more interesting characters because you have a tendency to dump stat, so to speak, when you point buy, because you want to maximize your single, or say you have a character that's based on two main attributes, and then dump stat your rest. Whereas randomly rolled can take your character in a direction that you might not have originally planned on. And yeah, definitely some memorable characters done that way as well.
For me, because my first GM did character generation by gunpoint, you rolled 3d6 and that was your stat. And you had to roll them in order. That was first edition D&D, how our first GM did it. Wow. And it would be like you'd get to charisma and go, okay, I jump off a cliff or I'm Spartan babied because there's no way I can play this character. I want to play a wizard and my intelligence is 7. Can't even cast spells. So there was a real hindrance with that. Now that obviously evolved over time, but when I was introduced to the point by system, I absolutely hated the point by system. It was viscerally wrong because you're playing a role-playing game. You shouldn't be buying your stats. It should be random. You should allow the dice gods to shape your character. Now, however you allowed that to happen as a result of, did I roll 4 dice and choose the best? Did I roll 4 dice and drop the lowest? Did I roll up 3 different characters and then choose the best of the 3? Whatever it is that you did, there was a lot more randomness to it. Mm-hmm. However, Cheryl and Franklin were sitting at the table when this event occurred that changed my mind about point buy. Because we rolled up, we were going to start Kingmaker, the Pathfinder adventure path. And so we were going to be playing this long term, and we rolled up our characters. And then as a result of that, I went around and figured out what the point buy was based upon the numbers that got rolled. Cheryl rolled like a 28 point build. Another player rolled like a 34-point build. Franklin, unfortunately, rolled an 8-point build. And I rolled a 64-point build. Now, wow. If we all came to the same adventure, one of those characters is going to be in a ditch in the first encounter. And the other one is going to be king of the universe by the end of the first, adventure.
The player in the ditch is going to be the 64-point build because we all hate him.
Yeah, that too.
I do want to come out and just mention, I am notoriously bad at 4 dice drop lowest.
Especially if they're D6s.
Yeah. And so as a result of that, that really convinced me that's like, hey, maybe point buy isn't such a bad idea. Because then you won't have these wild and obscenely disparate characters playing in the same adventure.
I actually find that there's still some variance with the point buy system, even though there's a set amount of points, just in how much, say, it costs to take a stat from 12 to 14 as opposed to 14 to 16. So, I mean, there's definitely, numerous ways that your character could turn out, even with the same set, same number of points, and the same stats that you want to maximize.
Now, we're definitely talking about D20 systems here, because there's a lot of other systems where point buy versus roll just isn't a thing. A lot of the...
That is true.
The really deep role-playing ones.
I've played a lot of D6 systems as well that don't really have...
Yeah, that it's completely unnecessary to have a point buy system.
Have entirely a point buy system, because your system is you have 3 points that you get to split between your stats how you want.
You could end up playing something like, Vampire the Masquerade or Werewolf the Apocalypse or Mage the Ascension, and they're like, point buy, what's that? The whole thing is a point buy. You get 5 dots, where are you going to put them?
Go to something like Shivering Sorcery, which is all random roll.
Yeah.
There is no point buy in that. But it really works well because you're rolling a D100. There's more of a variance in your stat than there would be if you're just rolling the D20.
Well, I have also found, which I'm not sure if I made clear when I was talking earlier about how my preference for character generation has really evolved over the last 4 decades, because how I am as a player now, and I don't want to go off topic, but I'm more interested in playing a long-term campaign with a character that I can depend on instead of someone who gets, killed crossing a bridge at second level that I really invested in. Anyway.
That was just, the dice gods.
Yeah, to jump in on that, first and foremost, that was a point by a character that he was referring to. It was poor luck in other regards. One thing I think that's also worth mentioning, it kind of dovetails on a little bit with what Clayton was talking about earlier, is from the perspective of a writer, if you're writing an adventure, if you're trying to balance encounters, knowing that your characters are going to all be at a consistent power level and knowing quite well where that power level is makes things very much easier, especially if you're running pre-written adventures. They're usually balanced. I know the standard for Paizo is, I believe, 4 15- to 20-point build characters.
20-point builds is the standard.
So if you tell your players off the bat, we're going to do 4 20-point build characters, you know that the encounters in the pre-written modules will be reasonably accurate to the power level the players are dealing with. Whereas with Point Buy, you could have characters that are way above or way below that level of ability.
I think as a general standard, though, like a 25-point buy in Pathfinder, for example, they would consider high fantasy, whereas a 20-point buy would be, you know, your moderate genre fantasies. But overall, you're still within that margin. You're still within that range of being similar to the other characters power-wise, I think.
As long as everyone has the same number of points to spend, they should all come out, I think, in reasonably close. There is where you get into the complex math of the game design between multiple attribute dependents, and, you know, classes like the monk obviously benefit a lot more from higher point builds than a class like the wizard, who's only primarily investing in one stat.
Very much so.
I used to think that there would be a lack of variation as a result of point buy, but the more that I've done point buy, the more I have found there is, in fact, variation.
I agree.
Now, what Cheryl is, her criticism earlier, I completely agree with. If you're making a wizard, you know where you're putting your high stat. If you're making a character that has multiple attribute dependents, or MAD as the acronym goes, you might end up with where you're having to decide, how am I going to split these points because I have multiple attributes that I need to improve. So that, you know, you create a problem there. The difference is that you have a character that you're trying to make the numbers fit, as opposed to you have the numbers that you're trying to find a character class that will fit the numbers, right? So, like, way back first edition D&D, you rolled the character and it's like, well, I qualify to play this, or I qualify to play that, right?
Yes, I very much remember that.
As opposed to the way it is now, it's like, no, I'll just put the stat where I want to make the character that I want. So, that's an evolution to me that I see as a completely different game now, based upon how the character is generated.
I just had a thought of, the earliest editions of Dungeons & Dragons, where depending on your stats rolled, that's the character you ended up with.
Yes.
Back when Elf was a class.
Yes.
But I don't quite recall rolling the attributes in order. I'm not sure if you're talking about the...
That might have been a convention at the game I was at.
I've heard that some tables do it that way, some tables do it otherwise. Obviously, there's going to be so many little subtleties and nuances, different tables, but it is a thing I've heard of. As I've talked at length about my enjoyment of randomized character generation, I've not personally done the rolling six stats in order, but I think there's definitely a really interesting one-shot where everyone gets together, rolls their six stats in order, and then tries to make their characters based on the stats they have, where you're choosing a class and race from that. I don't think I'd want to do that for anything more than a one-shot, though.
Yeah. Particularly if you have your heart set on, oh, I can't wait to play a wizard, and it turns out I have 11 intelligence.
Well, and this is exactly the point. If you're going to do that, you have to accept from the start that you cannot plan ahead what character you're going to play.
Right.
Yes.
Definitely.
Point buy is very much better for the person who is a concept builder.
Very much planned character generation.
I completely agree.
Okay. And one other thing I'd like to say about this before we wrap up our discussion on this one is point buy is definitely less of a time sink in character creation than in rolling. It usually takes you a lot less time when you're point buying.
As long as you have some sort of chart or calculator and you're not trying to figure out the math behind it.
Yes.
You know, as you go.
So I think we've come around to, it's basically preference of your table and what you're looking for, but it seems that point buy seems to be the...
The prevailing attitude.
The prevailing attitude.
Yeah. I do want to jump in. You know, obviously we've talked at length in the past about how, you know, the importance of your session zero conversations with your players. Get together, talk to everyone at the table, see what they think about, and go from there. Because there's not going to be a situation that's the right choice for every table. So talk to your players and see what the group is feeling.
Absolutely. And apparently we are now running out of time on what we thought was going to be a very short topic.
Well, we didn't get through three topics this episode. We barely got through one. And so until next time.
We'll see you at the table.